The Gospel reading this morning from Luke chapter 4, verse 16 to 21. It is a passage when it's written there that when Jesus opened the book or the text, because they don't have New Testament, of course, in those days, at even the time of Jesus, so they were reading the Old Testament. And he opened to this passage on Isaiah 61. And Luke felt that this passage was very important when Jesus opened that passage. It became almost a kind of manifesto of Jesus' ministry. Many of you know what manifesto is. Manifesto is when a political party, they produce a manifesto to try to outline when they are in government, if they are elected as government, this is what they're going to do. And we know that often they don't do exactly what they say they will do. And sometimes they fail quite miserably. But this passage, I see it as quite important in the life of the ministry of Jesus, because it's almost like his manifesto. And in this passage, what struck me very much was how he began and how he ended in verse 21. He began by saying that this is the gospel, to preach the gospel to the poor. And then he said, what are those poor? An expansion of what that poor means. And he ended up with this very emphatical way where only Jesus can do. He said it in verse 21, today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. He told the congregation in Nazareth that it is now, today it's being fulfilled. You're hearing it now. It's an enormously powerful exertion of who he is and what he intends to do. I chose the text from verse 18. Gospel to the poor. I could have chosen, there are many texts one can choose from this manifesto itself. But I thought gospel to the poor summarizes all Jesus' manifesto. There are a few surprises here. The first surprise is, if you know about the Jewish synagogue, they are not like flippant like us. We turn to the Bible here and there and so on. They are much more methodical. They read passages from the beginning, Genesis, up to all the others. So every day they will roll up the scroll and read, every week rather, roll up the scroll, and the formal reading is being read on that passage where the scroll starts. Where the scroll opened. And it's just on this day, the scroll is open on Isaiah 61. Sometimes we say how coincidental it is. We always see things like that as being coincidental. But yet it's all part of the plan of God, the invisible plan of God, that Jesus should be reading this on this very day, the passage that is going to come to fulfill, he's come to fulfill. So it is quite an extraordinary situation how this come about. The next thing that we wanted to know, it was exactly, it's the gospel to the poor. What exactly does it mean? I hope by the end of my sermon I will try to explain that. But I believe from time to time, every Christian and every church as a corporate organization must examine the course that they have taken, the direction they have taken. We can never assume that if we have do certain things for maybe tens and hundreds of years, we are doing the right thing. There are times to reflect and to re-examine ourselves. In most commercial enterprise and in most organization, from time to time, they look back at the basic, the aim and why they were here, to examine the course of action they have taken. A professional tennis player, he might want to examine why he's losing form and not winning his game. He will go back to his basic. Maybe how he served, how he played the games. And then he concentrates on correcting his weakness, either by hiring a coach or looking at it, examining himself more closely. So that's time Christian and churches must do the same from time to time. I don't mean every week. I find Revelation chapter 2 and 3 is a good example for us to remind it about, because this is about seven churches, about Jesus walking among the seven churches. And it's not only those seven churches mentioned in those times. This revelation is also talking about churches today, where Jesus is walking among the churches, his lampstand. And in this, he said first of all to the Ephesian church in Revelation 2, verse 4 and 5. Jesus said this to them, his analysis of their progress of that church. You have left, notice the word left, you have left your first love. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, from where you have fallen. Clearly, Jesus saw this Ephesian church has left something. They weren't like that in the beginning. They have fallen to something which they consciously or unconsciously did not realize it. So he reminded them from where you have left and also from where you have fallen. The experience of the Ephesian church were not the same after a while, less than 100 years after Christ is gone. So it is that church who has changed. The course of action has changed. And I'm sure the church didn't do it deliberately, but unconsciously they were drawn into something, or they had sidetracked. So Jesus was there to remind this church that you have left and you have fallen. And then in Revelation chapter 3, verse 3, Jesus said to the church in Sardis, the church in Sardis, he said this, remember, therefore, how you have received and heard, how you have received and heard. In other words, from the beginning. How you have received and heard from the beginning. Hold fast. So again, they have let their crown slip. They have let their course of action slip. So he is saying to them, how you have received, remember how you received, how you heard in the beginning. Jesus is asking the Sardisian church to remember what they have heard and what they have received and they have taught in the beginning. And hold fast to that first principle. Hold fast to that which is correct in the beginning. So likewise, in the same way, I think Christian and church from time to time need to go back to the origin. Origin of the gospel. To rediscover why we are meant, why the church is meant to be here. And what is the gospel for? And what is gospel? And I always find that there's no better way to start than to examine and study Jesus on his ministry. So that's what I'm suggesting to the church and to all of you. Start again from looking at Jesus and his ministry. If you like to call it the manifesto of Jesus in a more modern term, fine. It is what Jesus believed. Otherwise, he wouldn't have said it. He said he's preaching the gospel to the poor. And that's how he began his earthly ministry. That is how, too, we need to learn. The word poor here has two meanings. And I'll explain them to you in a very simple way, using the Bible to explain this. The first meaning is found in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew chapter 5, verse 3. In this Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said this. Remember, this is the word of Jesus. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Matthew used the word, explained the word, or enlarged the word, poor in spirit. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Sermon on the Mount is a very important doctrinal teaching of Jesus. When Matthew used this word, poor in spirit, he denotes the spiritual state of non-believers. Every non-believer has this poor in spirit. Because without God and his and the Spirit of God as the fountain of life, we are poor, whether we are rich or whether we are physically poor. Because our spirit is poor. And Matthew concentrates on this part of spiritual emptiness and spiritual unfulfillment. It doesn't matter whether you're the richest man in the world, the most powerful man in the world. All those things cannot substitute for the poverty in spirit without God. There is no spiritual connections and relationship with God. And nothing from you that comes from Him. So the poor in spirit is important. It's a state that non-believers must realize that they have the poor in spirit. That is why they need God. And there's no exception whether you're destitute, poor, or whether you're filthy rich. They are both in the same state of poverty in spirit. The second meaning of the poor comes from also from the Sermon on the Mount, but recorded in Luke. Luke chapter 6 verse 20. Jesus said this: "Blessed are the you poor. Blessed are you poor, for yours is the kingdom of God." Now Luke does not go to poor in spirit. He said poor. I think here is also what Jesus meant. Luke is also correct. But here Luke is thinking probably what Jesus is saying is those who are economically poor, those who are physical poverty. There is, of course, spiritual poverty, which I've explained. But there is also physical poverty. The scarcity of living, either financially or economically. I believe this, in Luke, this is what Jesus meant. The poor are the people who have little means of support. Of sickness, they can't afford the medical bills. Of living and housing in the poor condition. I believe that is what Jesus meant here in Luke and his teaching to his disciples and his followers and also to us. He said, how blessed are these poor who are lacking both economically and spiritually, but theirs is the kingdom of God. Finally, when we examine the gospel, there is a recurring theme. We always find Jesus in finding himself in the company of the poor, feeding them, healing them when they have no money to pay for the medical bills, and casting out demons when no one wants to be with them, etc. I find this as a habit for me for many years now. I go back to reading gospel often just to make sure I understand what Jesus, so that I can learn from him and to follow his footsteps. And I will encourage you, my brothers and sisters, to do likewise, to read the gospel again and again, and finding spiritual meaning to your life. The question that is facing the church and Christians today is, what exactly is the mission of the church today? We can talk about evangelism, but to whom should we be evangelizing? The crowd is very big and very diverse out there. When we start raising such awareness, then we raise a whole lot of complex and perplexing problems. Churches are often lost as to know where or how to begin in evangelism. As they try to work out the work progress or the work pattern of evangelism. Looking back over the 20th century and now to the 21st century, the churches I find that the churches, both in the Far East and in the Western world, have reached a crisis point. The crisis point is not their own making, but it's something that we unconsciously walk into it. What is this crisis point? My deduction is this, that many churches and many Christians have become middle class. Does that shock you? We have all become middle class. When you look back at your own Christian life, as I look back on my own Christian life, many of us come from what I would classify as poor background, where our parents have no two pennies to rub together, where we barely have food on our table every day, where we don't have money to pay for the school fees, nor buy the new school uniform. It was on such a background that we all experienced that we found Jesus. We became Christians. We wanted to become His followers. We were poor, my friends, in the eyes of the world, in the eyes that we look back now. But over the years, as we live as Christians, we learn to abide by the teaching of Jesus Christ and learn to follow Him and to follow His example. We have received many blessings and benefits from God through His mercy and His grace and His love for us. To such extent that many Christians, through these blessings, our life has improved and we become middle class. The tragedy of becoming middle class is that we have forgotten our early economic struggle and to where we actually came from. We left that behind and we've probably forgotten about that. Therefore, my sermon about God to the poor is to remind each and every one of us, you and me, that we have to go back to the first principle of when we first heard and when we first accepted the Lord, our condition and our position, in order that we can deal with the present poor around us. Because I still believe the gospel is for the poor even today. And the kingdom of God is theirs. Do you believe that? But many Christians have asked me, Pastor, how do we do that? Where do we begin? We won't even know what to do. My answer is quite simple. It must begin from you as an individual. You must ask yourself this question. Am I convinced that the gospel to the poor is the chief manifesto of Jesus? If you are convinced, if you accept that, then the rest is easier and clearer. God cannot open the way for us if we are not convinced or unwilling to accept His teaching. He can only open to us if each of us is willing and open to His way. We must always begin with prayer for God to open our hearts and our minds And in due course, He will open the way for you. This has always been my experience in this area about God. I always said, God will send the poor to you if your heart is willing. You don't have to find them. God will send them to you. Whether you are ready or not, whether your eyes are open to see that it is what God is doing, it is really up to you. But many churches, we ignore that. When we see poor, when we sit, we send them packing, or we totally ignore them as a person. I didn't find that in Jesus. Jesus did quite the opposite. Indeed, He often purposely seek the poor out. Go and read the gospel again and again. This is the extent of His love and grace, because Jesus knows that the kingdom of God belongs to this poor. In order to preach the gospel to the poor, we have to exercise two most important characteristics in our Christian life. The two characters are called love and light. Quite easy to remember. Every church and every Christian must show those two characteristics of love and light. It is Jesus, after all, who says this: you must love one another just as I have loved you. And also He said this: let your light so shine before men that they may glorify your Father in heaven. The love and the light was Jesus' command and teaching to us. And Jesus said further, He said, no man light a candle and put it under the bushel. Instead, it must be put on lampstand. Light is for people to see. If we show love and light, I can almost guarantee you the poor will come here to listen to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And quite willingly they will come. And they will be saved, because the kingdom of God is rightly theirs, as Jesus said. What about the rich and those who are satisfied with their lot? Jesus has warned us about the rich and those who are satisfied with their lot in this life. In Luke 18, verse 24 and 25, Jesus said this: how hard it is for those who have riches to enter the kingdom of God. How hard it is for those who have riches to enter the kingdom of God. For it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. Jesus Christ was not derogative about the rich, but He knew from experience, from His contact with the rich and the poor, He realized how hard it is for rich people. He's merely passing down to us His experience and His truth to His disciples and to us today. About how rich people and the people who have generally satisfied with themselves have no need of God. And because they have no need of God, they are materially financially, economically fulfilled, it is hard for them to accept that they are spiritually poor. That's something unheard of. It is hard for them, therefore, to enter into the kingdom of God. I'm saying this not because the church can not preach the gospel to the rich or the famous or the powerful. No, that's not what I meant. But you have to realize that it is difficult. Your work will not be fulfilled. The gospel, the evangelism will not be fulfilled. Because Jesus has almost predicted in his teaching. He said, you'll find those who want to come into the kingdom of God, you'll find them among the poor, the destitute, those who are lacking in everything. They will find themselves and willingly to enter into the kingdom of God. This is the message which I have in my heart for all many years now. It is a message which I want to teach to all the churches here in England and also in Malaysia. Because it's what I've seen and what I've experienced. Dear brothers and sisters, both the Bible and also Jesus has commanded us that we must wake up and understand. Perhaps, like the Revelation, churches in Revelation, we have slipped, we have fallen, we have forgotten. It's quite a natural process. But from time to time, we need to be reminded of what the gospel is for. And the main thrust is for the poor. It's the poor that we have to reach out for the gospel. I pray that the Lord make you understand. And maybe you're willing in your heart to pray and accept this teaching from from Jesus, and the way that he wants to make clear to all of us how he wants us to live. Amen. Let's just pray. Merciful Lord, we don't understand a lot about Bibles. Your word is deep and mysterious to us. Sometimes we find a glimmer of hope, of understanding. Guide us to understand it correctly so that we know exactly what you are teaching. So that we may do and abide by your teaching and your law and your commands. So that we will do things which pleases you. Help each one of us here and those who listen, that they may learn to accept you, accept something that they may have forgotten over the years. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.